Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, have you heard it yet? I mean, it's Sunday by now. You probably should have heard it. What is today?
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes! Everybody knows that, don't they? Cinco de Mayo. That's Spanish for what? The 5th of May. And what? Well, boy, this sermon's going to teach itself. So what is it that everybody is celebrating today? Oh, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. We're celebrating beer and tacos. What was that? Oh, man, you're too smart for me. Did you guys hear it over here? God bless you. Did you hear what she said?
No.
Okay, good. What do you think Cinco de Mayo is? So listen to that.
They're too smart over there.
Beer and tacos.
Margaritas. Anything other than that? Do you know what it is?
Anybody know? Okay. So most people, you got it right. Most people think Cinco de Mayo has to do with Mexican Independence Day. It does not. That day is in September. Not here. This is actually not a huge celebration in Mexico. This day is observed in Mexico to commemorate the Mexican army's victory over the French Empire in the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. Now, if we know anything about our own history here in the United States, there was another battle going on that was a civil war that was happening here. So what happened on that May 5th, 1862 is that the smaller Mexican army defeated the large French army. Now, do you know what happened a year later? The large French army defeated the small Mexican army at the second battle of Puebla, and shortly thereafter Mexico City fell. Now, beginning the following year, in 1863, there were some Mexican Americans who were living in California who began to celebrate the day because they were celebrating their heritage. And so in California, it started to become more of a celebration. But in Mexico, they commemorate it with battle reenactments. They'll have perhaps a parade. But, you know, in Puebla, they will have, you know, a festival where they're celebrating their culture. But really, it wasn't that big in the entire nation here in the United States. Do you know when it became popular? And do you know why it became popular? Think about your first answers. It became the beer. It became popular here in the 1980s due to advertising. What do you think the beer and wine companies were doing? Celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Get it right? It became huge. Did you know that Cinco de Mayo generates the same amount of sales of beer as what would be the first? No, not St. Patrick's Day. Super Bowl. Yes. Yes, so there you go. Cinco de Mayo, you know, sells the same amount of beer as the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But again, for the people in Mexico, their most important holiday, which is their celebration of their independence, is September 16th, which commemorates this cry of Dolores, which initiated their war for Mexican independence from Spain. And our day is July 4th, right, where commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence declaring our independence from Great Britain. Yes. Mm-hmm. These Independence Days are celebrated in a big way. And why is that? Because nobody likes to be dependent on somebody else, do they? We don't. We like to be dependent on ourselves. We like to be self-governing, self-controlling. We enjoy being our own persons. We don't want to have need of anyone or anything else. And while independence is important in certain areas of our life, total independence is isolating and it's lonely. And it results in death. It's not the way that our Creator God designed us to be. God designed us to be in relationship with each other and dependent on God. Our gospel this morning takes us back to Galilee. And the word used was later. We have no idea how much later. Was it a week? Was it a month? Was it months? Was it years? What brought them back to Galilee after their encounter with the risen Lord, as we heard last week? Just says later. They go back. We don't know why they go back. We don't know if they started out preaching about Jesus and the risen Lord and they said, my gosh, this is just way too hard. You know what? I'm going back fishing. I'm going to go back to what I did before all of this started. We have no idea. But we do know they went back because it felt comfortable and they returned to an independent life prior to their following of Jesus. They went back to doing their thing that they did prior to Jesus calling them. And they fished all night. And as you know, they caught nothing. Nothing. And then at dawn, now you know they're frustrated, right? Totally frustrated. Someone calls from the beach and says, hey, take those nets and move them from, I'm going to do from your side, as I was corrected by Cassidy. She's so right. She knows her left and her right. Take those nets that you've been fishing, where you always fish on the left side, and move them on over to the right side. Now, this is someone who they don't know. They're the fishermen. Have you ever been told to do something that you're like, hey, I've been doing this all my life? Right? You're really going to tell me that I should do something different? Have you ever had that happen in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes what happens is, this used to happen at work when someone would say, well, just try this. And I'm like thinking to myself, and they'd say, just do it for grins and giggles. Has anybody heard that expression before? I had never heard that before. Grins and giggles. All right, I'll do it for grins and giggles. And then you find that, oh my gosh, it actually worked. That's what I have to believe the disciples are saying. I'll try anything at this point. And they catch fish. Fish beyond fish beyond fish beyond fish. We're not talking small fish. We're talking huge fish and amounts, 153, beyond what they could have imagined. So much so that they needed help in bringing those nets in. On their own, when they were independent, doing it their own way, nothing. With Jesus, nothing but fish. And that's when they discover that it was Jesus who directed them to reposition their nets, to change the way they did what they always did, what they always knew. And here they are, back in Galilee, at the lake where Jesus had first called them, where he first met them. And there's Jesus recalling them again. He asks them to leave what they know and to follow him that first time. Remember their independent life of doing what they do as fishermen, to become dependent upon him and walk with him for 3 years. And they did it. Jesus is calling them again to move from their independence from him to be dependent on him. And they do it. Because they know what dependence on Jesus will mean for them. They've lived it for 3 years. This gospel reminds us that Jesus comes and meets us where we are. Jesus comes and finds us, but doesn't leave us there. Calls us, in a way, to places that we would least expect it. Calls us to a life of abundance in the things that are life-giving. Nothing but more than what we could possibly imagine. I want you to take some time right now and to think about what your life was like before you heard God's call, the Holy Spirit, for you to come to this place. And by this place, I'm talking of the gathering of the people, because it might not have been, first time might not have physically been here. What was your life like before that? Where were you at emotionally before you came here? Did you step into a place that you had not expected? I can remember my first time stepping back, being recalled into a community of faith and saying, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. Did you trust in a way that maybe you wouldn't have in the past? Did your way of thinking since that time change? Did you find your life continue to transform and you move from this independent state to a dependent state, dependent on our Savior? And how did that change your life? And how does it continue to change your life? Do you find peace? Peace beyond all understanding when the rest of the world tells you anything but peace is happening right now? Do you find comfort when you're physically or emotionally uncomfortable and at a place you've never been at before? Do you find strength where in the past you would have been exhausted and everyone tells you you should be exhausted? Do you find courage when everyone else that would have been going through what you're going through would have been afraid? Do you love? Do you love in a way that you've never loved before? Do you love in a way where in the past you would have hated? Do you love in a way that not only changes your life, but changes another's? Do you have an understanding beyond what you can comprehend, where in the past you would have sat in judgment? Do you have hope? Hope where you would have been in deep despair before. And do you have boldness where in the past you would have been afraid, coward, meaning coward, and have been weak? You see, dependence on our life source, on our Creator, that's the true independence. Dependence on our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's the true independence. Dependence on our Redeemer, that's our true independence. Dependence on our Reconciler, that's the true independence. Dependence is the place where we actually find independence, true freedom. Cling to that dependence. Hold on to it. Cling to Christ. On this day, on this Cinco de Mayo, listen to these words as Jesus recalls you and I. Jesus says to you and me, follow me. And we sang that song. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you leave your life behind and never be the same? Let us answer the recall to follow Jesus, to be dependent on the one who gives true independence, true freedom, life, nothing but true life. Amen.
Amen.